I've read of how the mountain God removes for his children, of miracles his loving hand provides. But what really got my hands upraised, made me have to shout his praise, was the day I could say he is mine. Well, he's a mountain mover, he's a sea walker, a lily in a desert dry, a rose in the wilderness. Let me tell you who he is. This old sinner testifies he is mine. Struggling up the mountain, half dead in the desert, angry waves almost covering my eyes. Then I see the lily, that sweet rose comes to get me, pulls me out, then I shout, he is mine.
Well, he's a mountain mover, he's a sea walker, a lily in a desert dry, a rose in the wilderness. Let me tell you who he is. This old sinner testifies he is mine. He's a mountain mover, he's a sea walker, a lily in a desert dry, a rose in the wilderness. Let me tell you who he is. This old sinner testifies he is mine. This old sinner testifies he is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine.
Long before the fall of man, God designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done.
He is mine.
Shed for me, save forever I shall be. He is mine. Through God's mercy and his grace, he's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise the perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven ours to share. He is mine.
He is mine.
I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. Shed for me, say forever I shall be. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Say forever I shall be. He is mine.
He is mine.
All right, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Boy, I'm glad I'm saved, born again, on my way to heaven. This old world is not my home. There's a blessing about being first. You don't have to worry about what anybody else is going to say. And then somebody said it gets better as it goes. So anyway, where Brother Gomez is from, people have to mow their grass to find their car. And where he's from, the Salvation Army rejects the mattress of people when they take it out there. Where he's from, you don't mow your yard, you burn it. And where he's from, you keep a can of Raid on the kitchen table. And most time you take a bath with tick and flea soap. And every now and then, your mom will say, "Hey, come get this transmission out of the bathtub so I can take a bath." And what's really good, really, really good, where he's from, is when somebody says, "Take out the trash," you think they're talking about your in-laws. Huh? Boy, it's good to see a lot of people I know, and I appreciate you and love you, and thank God for this good church doing this. Amen. And for Brother Coral's vision, I went by and thanked the nursery ladies this morning. They were already cocking their pistols and, you know, getting the dynamite ready. And I know there's a lot of work that goes into this. And not only ought you pray for the speakers, you ought to pray for this church. And there's a lot of, some of you guys have confidence, you know what I'm talking about. And there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of burden. I know it's worth it, but you couldn't do it without the good lay people. And a lot of times we forget about the lay people. You couldn't have a good church without lay people in there. And so thank you, Brother Angel and Brother Carl and the good people of this church. Right quickly, if you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6. And if you'll stand in honor of the Word of God, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and then we're going to run over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. First, Ephesians chapter 6. And the Bible says in verse number 10, you've read these verses time and time again, "Finally..." In the Greek, that means finally. "My brethren..." Now, you ladies don't have to worry. He didn't say sisterin. He said, "Finally, my brethren..." Listen to this now. And the Bible just preaches itself, don't it? "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." What's our excuse? Most time we like to talk about our problems because we like attention. Shake your head up and down. As Brother Garris used to say, shake your little head up and down. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, in..." What kind of day, folks? "Evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and that take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And most of the time we don't read verse 18, but it's a good verse. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." What is that? Perseverance. "And supplication for all saints." Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me, Lord. I'm glad I'm born again today. I'm glad every day, and I'm going to thank you every day that I'm saved. I'm never going to forget it. And as we heard last night, where you've taken me from and where you brought me to today, what a wonderful, wonderful life to be saved and pastor a church and help people, Lord, and then get to speak in a conference like this. And certainly, Lord, most of us have already prayed for this conference, for Brother Angel and Brother Coral and this good church. Heavenly Father, please help me now. I don't want to preach a sermon, dear Lord. I'd like to preach a message that will help and encourage this morning in Jesus' wonderful name. Bless all the speakers today and the rest of the conference. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. While you're seated, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to speak to you this morning on a wartime lifestyle. a wartime lifestyle. Now, let me tell you something, fellas. If I was in a real battle, I'm talking about trying to shoot somebody, I wouldn't ask the guy next to me what you believe. I'd just say, can you shoot a gun? Now, don't get quiet on me. We need everybody in this war. Now, I'm not talking about compromising. I wouldn't do that at all. But we need everybody in this war. Now, you say, well, I'll just fight the battle by myself. You're going to get killed. You're going to get hurt. Now, you may not like this analogy, whether you do or not. I don't give a rip. I drank 2 gallons of it this morning. And we had to battle for our schools in Louisiana. When I went to Louisiana, I told my wife, there's 3 things I'm not going to do. Number one, I'm not going to get in any fights. And I lied about that one. And I said, number two, I'm not going to travel. And I said, number three, I'm not going to have any friends. And I violated all of them. And I went down there to the legislative body, and they were going to force you to put your kids in their public Philistine institutions when they were 4 years old. And we said, and I'd never been down there. I just said, no, you ain't. No, no. Matter of fact, I used to get upset in them little old meetings, you know, make them all, you know, holler at me and that stuff. Now, there ain't very many independent fundamental Baptists in Louisiana. And when that old bishop from the First United Pentecostal folks sat down and said, I represent 300 churches, nobody moved. Because all they could see is numbers. Now, I don't believe what they believe, but we're in a battle. And they helped us in that. Let's say amen here. I'm afraid I'll offend some of my friends. You ain't right with God if you don't do that. Amen. I mean, they helped us. They helped us. Then we went our separate ways. Now, I'm not saying what they do is right. And we got a crazy bunch of things going on today. But we need all the brethren we can get, fellas, in this war. And if you don't think we're in a war, you're asleep. I mean, you're asleep. We're in a war. Things are happening now that some of us preached years ago. And we're in a war, and there's a great war. And let me tell you something, there's no let up. If you're looking for pie in the sky, you're dreaming. There's no let up in this war. There's not going to be any let up in this war. I'm not being negative, I'm just telling you the truth. There's things happening now that Christians are doing that I did when I was a lost person. And there's a struggle. There's a struggle. There's no truth. There's a great struggle against the enemy for the family. I mean, you know, let me get you to do this. If you've got any size church, name 5 families in your church where the daddy prays, he goes soul winning, he's faithful to church, he gives, etc. Just name me 5 where the mama follows right in line. Name me 5 families. 5. We're in a war for the family like we've never had before. I feel sorry sometimes for this group over here. So you and I are going to have to take a stand for this group. We're fighting for this group. And listen to me. We're in a battle for the mind. For the mind. Good night. I got so much in my mind from past, I don't even like to think about it, and I try to keep it out. But look what's going on being put in people's minds today. We're in a battle, listen to me. We're in a battle for the heart and soul of man. Now, we're in the battle. We're in the battle for the church. I mean, nowadays, you know, a lot of guys just throw up a shingle and crazy name for churches. And people dress ungodly and they have ungodly music. You know that. And they do ungodly things. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even know they saved. And most of them are not saved. So it's incumbent upon you and I to fight the battle. Now, you need to get in the war. You need to volunteer and get in the war. Don't let somebody make you do it. Humanity is greasing up the slide that they're on going down to hell. They're greasing it up. Soul winning is harder than it used to be. A lot harder where I am. And it's hard to get people in the baptistry. And the casualties are everywhere. Look around in your neighborhood. Look at the little boys and girls. This side right here. I mean, in our public institutions, now they have to have dope sniffing dogs in elementary school. Look at what they're listening to. Most of them have cell phones now and have all that kind of trash. And I'm talking about little boys and girls. Most of them don't know how to play cowboys and Indians anymore. You heard about Tonto and Lone Ranger, didn't you? They was down in the valley and all of a sudden, man, they looked up and there was Indians everywhere. And Lone Ranger said, what are we going to do? Tonto said, what do you mean we, Jim Zabi? Look at the teenagers today. Even saved teenagers, they don't know how to smile. They don't know how to do nothing. Look at the couples today. In my church, we got babies having babies. They don't even know how to rear a kid anymore. And you try to tell them, we have more problems when we ask folks, please don't bring the babies into the auditorium. The pews are not for them. Nothing's for them. Take them to the nursery. They get mad and walk out. And we got ladies in nursery know more about babies than these folks know come here from Sikkim. Now, I'm telling you, casualties are everywhere. Look at the empty lives today. How many people you know that are saved, when you talk to them, say, thank God, boy, I'm saved. Here's what victory God gave me. No, most of them, they're belly aching about this or they're belly aching about that. And it's all going on and on and on. And people live empty lives. They live shallow lives. Just take a look at people. Shattered families, lost people. I mean, the casualties are scattering all over the landscape everywhere. So we are in a war. I mean, we've got to have a wartime lifestyle. Under these desperate conditions, and we are in desperate conditions, and I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just telling you the truth. You listen to me. Most Christians live luxurious, extravagant, empty, indulgent, dead lives. And so do preachers. Boy, did you hear all the amens in there? It was definitely well. Now, here's what we need. We need some soldiers, real Christian soldiers, who realize we're in a battle. And here's what we got to do. Number one, we have to sacrifice self. Would you turn to scriptures that most people have memorized in Luke 14? Luke chapter 14. And I want to do this like my mama's biscuits, put a little shortening in it. Luke chapter 14. Now, and look down, if you will, and about verse, I think, 14, 25. Luke 14, verse 25. I got a new Bible, man. The pages are so thin now, you could almost roll them up. And anyway. I have to be careful. My wife's here today, and she's got the class. Luke chapter 14. Now, let me show you something amazing here. And look down, and this is amazing. He said, and there went great multitudes, Luke 14, 25, with him. Now stop for just a minute. Oh boy, I got a big crowd. I mean, here's his chance to say, that hurts worse than it used to. I mean, multitudes following. Here's his time to say, see that Pete? See that James? Look at this crowd. Now watch this. The Bible says, and he turned and said to the multitude, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot. Anybody need the word explained cannot? He cannot be my disciple. Is that what he said? Do you believe this is the inspired, infallible, unadulterated Word of God? Do you believe he knows what he's saying? I challenge you to do that Sunday morning. I'm not trying to be mean. And you know what he means. He don't mean you have to look at your mom and say, I hate you. Or your daddy. One of the best illustrations I heard about this years ago, when Mike Ray was my youth director, he got a tape of Miss John R. Rice, and it was one of those old-fashioned plug-in type things, and she was speaking to a group of ladies, and she said, I remember when me and Dr. John moved to the Fort Worth, Dallas area, right next to the big seminary out there, and it was time for him to leave, and we'd always been together, we'd always been, all of us and the girls and him, and it was time for him to leave, and we were all standing out in the front yard, and he knew he had to leave us, and they couldn't travel with him more. And she said, we was all standing there crying, and she said to my daughters, he's leaving us because he loves Jesus. And he loves Jesus more than he loves us. Are you willing to sacrifice yourself? Well, mom and dad, they're having, you know, a new baby was born to the third cousin. We all got to go kissing on the forehead. Come on now, folks. Come on. So if we're gonna get in this battle, listen to me. We're gonna have to sacrifice self. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Go back over there again right quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look down in verse number 3. Thou, therefore, look at that word, endure. You see that? Everybody got a Bible, say amen. And what's the next word? Hardness. A real soldier endures hardness. Now, we can't get hard. We can't get hard-hearted. But we have to put up with hardness. I remember several years ago, and it's a long story, and I want to tell you. And I was preaching, and then the guy was going to, I was going to stay with him a year, and he was going to leave, and that worked out and all that stuff. And I just got hard. I just got real hard. And I said to my wife, and thank God for good wives, I said, sweetheart, I don't have what I used to. And she said, that's because you're preaching from hardness. And I got right with God. But let me tell you something. You have to endure things that nobody else endures. Hollywood's ruining us about battles and TV and all that kind of stuff. It's real blood and guts. And you have to endure that. You have to put up with that. You have to put up things in the ministry that nobody else has to put up with. But let me tell you something. A real soldier on active duty, he don't expect an easy or safe time. You know, I talk to guys. They say, well, I'm going into the military to get a college education. That's okay. But then when they draft them and put them over in Afghanistan, they start having a fit. Why'd you go in? Why'd you go in? And some of you guys have been in the military and know what I'm talking about. But it's not easy. It's not safe. Hardship, risk, sacrifice, all of these things are part and parcel of a soldier's calling. And a good soldier warmly and bravely embraces sacrifice and does not run from it. So if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure hardness. You're going to have to sacrifice yourself. You look at all the Medal of Honor winners, and you look at them and what they did, and they deserve more than the Medal of Honor. And I like to read the stories about those guys, but that's not Hollywood. That's real stuff, and them getting shot and their friends getting killed and them getting blown half to pieces. And I've read most of their stories. Years ago, I was preaching over by Vidalia, Georgia, and the only thing I remember about it, that's where they have those good onions, you know. And I was preaching over there, and the preacher had to get up early. We had to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning. Like Brother Carl does most of the time. He sleeps in the next day, and the next day is usually dark. And we had to get up at 3 o'clock and go to Savannah to get me on a flight to get back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so I was telling about Cleve McCleary, and some of you don't know that story, and you can get the book if you want to. And back then, Cleve had just got out of Vietnam and went to the hospital in Washington. They'd put him back together, got blown to pieces. And I read his book. I was preaching in Durant, Oklahoma, and the preacher gave me his book. I stayed up all night and read it. Cleve was a good southern boy, plantation boy, and had good health and an athlete and all that stuff, and went to Vietnam and got his eye blowed out and his hand blowed off, one of his foot blown. And we're just sitting there talking. And back then, the security wasn't like it is now. Just had a little rope. And I looked up, and there he stood. There he stood. And I said, hey, Lynn, that's him. He said, oh, dude, you're sleepy drunk, Buchanan. I said, that's Cleve McCleary right there. And I went over there and I said, hey, Cleve. The boy come walking over, of course, had that hook for a hand and packed over his eye, and he said, who are you? And I said, I'm Bob Buchanan, pastor of Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I said, I'm flying back to Baton Rouge this morning. And he said, well, I'm flying out myself. Now, his ministry was, he was speaking to college athletes and high school athletes and pro athletes at that time. And he'd preach the gospel to them if he could get them to cooperate with him. And he said, where are you sitting? And I told him, he said, I'm going to sit next to you. And I said, you think you can? He said, you think I can't? So we got on the plane and we're sitting there and, man, I'm talking to him, and he slipped his briefcase under the seat in front of him. And I'm telling him I appreciate what he's done for the country and everything. And so I asked him a question. And he said, wait a minute, I got the answer. And he reached to get his briefcase, and I reached to get it for him. And you should have seen that look he gave me. I'm not an invalid. And so we, right before we got somewhere we had to switch planes. I said, Cleve, I want you to sign my Bible. He signed. In this old world of give and take, there's not enough men willing to give what they take. Now, I'm talking about sacrifice. I'm not talking about fasting a day. I'm talking about, listen to me, you have to sacrifice yourself. And you know that every good soldier in war, he sacrifices himself. Most of you know the story about the lone survivor. Brother Vineyard sent me a book about that, and you know what he does? He says, Buck, he said, white out the words you don't like. That guy from Texas, 6 foot something, and watched his friends get blowed all to pieces and all that kind of stuff, and he's still fighting. And the RPG hit him and blew his pants off, and all he had was his jacket and his bullet rounds up here, and he crawled over and got in the cave, and they were looking for him. They was going to kill him, and he said, while we was in that battle, and it's a long story, he said, I looked at one of my buddies, and blood was spurting out of his stomach. He's still shooting. He said, I looked at one of them, and half his face is blown off, and he's still shooting. Now, we're talking about men now. We're not talking about high fellas. And he said, my other friend, his hand was blown off. And he said, he's kept shooting, and he kept shooting. He said, it blowed me over in that cave, and he said, and it blowed a bunch of dirt in my mouth, and he said, I'm real still. Now, let me tell you something right here. They teach those SEALs that fear will save you. Well, I ain't afraid of nothing. Well, just stand out there and tell somebody, shoot me. Boom, they're going to shoot you. I'm not talking about being a coward. And the next morning he looked up and they always sent a spotter and two snipers. And he saw them and he shot every one of them between eyes. Boom, boom. I like that. Oh, that's like that. Amen. Glory to God. If you got on silk underwear, you can go in a minute. And he crawled a day and a half through those mountains. No water, no pants. And finally got out. He watched his team leader take out a cell phone because he couldn't reach the company for help. And he knew he was going to get shot. He crawled down a little old knoll, started talking to that cell phone, and that Taliban shot him. He fell down. He got back up. And got on that cell phone again. Sacrifice self. Number two, a real soldier separates nobly. Hear that word separate? Now, notice what it says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life. No man that warreth. Listen to me close. Don't be ashamed that you're a fundamental, old-fashioned, temperamental, independent Baptist. Don't be ashamed of it. If you look at a guy with a Navy uniform on, what do you say? He's in the Navy. Air Force, Army. They separate nobly. Paul said here to Timothy, don't you get mixed up in the affairs of this life. Come on now. Come on. Now, I'm not against having hobbies and all that kind of stuff, but you better watch the affairs of this life. You better watch it when somebody comes along and says, hey, I'm selling insurance. If you'll give me your church roll, I'll see that you never have another need. Come on. I used to preach for a guy, and he said, boy, if I don't have $2,000 in my pocket all the time, I feel naked. I said, I'm stripped. That was all right. He sold everything. Guns, cars, popsicles, you know, Kool-Aid. He didn't have to. He's in heaven now. Gone. The affairs of this life will cause you to be ineffective. I'm going to tell you one thing. Man, I don't like these traitors. I don't like these guys that go to war and they run off. How about these preachers going to war and then they're afraid to stand up and preach the Word of God straight? And they got some fat bottom. That guy out there's got a lot of money. And they're afraid they're going to offend him. Now listen, let me tell you something. You do not. Don't you be ashamed because of who you are. And you take a stand for who you are. Man, I like to see our soldiers, and now most of them wear camouflage. You know who they are. Bless God. Now you look at the independent Baptists, some of them, you think they fell out of a Star Trek movie or something. Amen. Come on. And they get mad if you say something about it. Yeah. And some people are going to get offended if you say something about it. But that doesn't make any difference. You still got to stand as a soldier. You got to stand as if you're God by yourself. Paul's attitude towards this, and he knew it from, and if he didn't read Luke 9, 25 and 24, that you have to pick up your cross daily. Pick it up daily. And let me tell you something, cross bearing ain't an easy thing. Amen. And listen to me. The Christian soldier is not to be caught up in the and rendered ineffective by the affairs of this life. He cannot serve God and mammon. Is that what your book says? You cannot serve God and mammon. And by the way, let me tell you something. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything the Gentiles have got. I've lived that verse for years. I mean, there ain't nothing I don't want. I like guns. A real man likes guns. And a real woman likes a man who likes guns. And I always wanted a 44 Magnum. Always. Lusted. Excuse me, didn't lust after. Prayed about it. And we had a guy come down from Mississippi, worked at a nuclear plant up there. And he first started coming, he had an afro haircut, and he was a white guy. We didn't have to turn on the lights, he worked at nuclear. And anyway, I'm just kidding. And he came a couple times on Wednesday night, and he said, wow, I ain't never been nothing like this in my life. And he brought his wife, she didn't like it. It's just, you know, typical. And so I was going across the workers' meeting one night, and he sat in his pickup, and I jumped up in there and just sat down and was talking to him, and he had a 44 Magnum long barrel in the seat. And he said, I said, where'd you get that? He said, I got two of them. You want that one? I said, yeah. Now, before I got saved, and this is bad, if I had a full pack of cigarettes and somebody offered me one, I took it. I know it's bad. And I said, yeah. He said, you can have it. You're going to have to forgive me. I still like long sideburns and beet leaf and then twin pipes on a pickup. Boom. I like that. I can't get rid of it. It's in my blood. And that's the only sin I got. You just pray for me. And I got that nice Toyota pickup. And man, I said, Lord, you know, I don't like these old rims on this thing. I said, I can't afford a fine set of rims. I've been seeking your kingdom first for years. You can give me a set of rims. And we've had Phil Kidd preaching. Guy came to hear him preach, and he came out on Tuesday night, and he said, hey, preacher. He said, look at this. And he showed me his cell phone. And man, there was a nice set of rims on that cell phone. He said, these will fit your truck. I said, where'd you get them? I didn't know if he stole them or not. I didn't really care. He said, you can have them for $100 per tire, per rim. Per tire, per rim is $500. I got them all for $400. You ought to see them. They're pretty. Now, God did that. I can tell you so many things God's done for me, because if you seek first the kingdom of God, boy, you separate nobly, you seek first the kingdom of God. Now, listen to me. We're not to pursue earthly glitter. We're not, come on, help me, preacher. We're not, listen to me. We're not to, the glitz and glamour and the gold will and the affairs of this life will ensnare you. Ensnare you. It'll enslave you. It'll suffocate and drown you. You separate nobody. You get away from that kind of stuff. Evangelism and materialism does not work. Evangelism seeks others. Materialism seeks self. So first of all, if you're going to be a good soldier, you got to sacrifice self. Number two, you got to separate nobly. And then number three, you have to submit willingly, without question. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now watch this statement. Watch it. That he may please him. Is that what we're here for? Who has what, folks? Chosen him to be a soldier. You have to submit willingly. You see, you have to instinctively obey the commands of the Savior. It's got to be an instinct, like shooting. You don't argue. When He tells you to do something, you don't argue about it. He told me to go to Louisiana, I argued a little bit about it. I wanted to go to Colorado, but I hadn't been there when snow was throat deep in the giraffe yet. But I wanted to go up there and get a mountain and build a church and somewhere. But I said, okay, Lord. I drove into Louisiana over the old bridge, and Kaiser was in operation at the time, and yellow smoke was coming out of that thing. Where I was in Wichita Falls, we piped fresh air in New York City. That's how clean it was. You'll get that later. Wake up. Now, it means we unconditionally surrender to Christ's authority. Amen. Without question. Somebody told me that in the military, you continue at the last command until further orders. You don't question. Years ago, there was a young boy named Scott O'Brady. Scott could fly an F-16. F-16 is one of the most elaborate planes ever made. Bob Hawke, who was poisoned slowly by an administrator in a hospital in Old Mexico because he had won the administrator's wife to the Lord, and finally, until he was crippled and couldn't move, and a general said, I know where there's an antidote for that. And he said, how are you going to get it? He said, I'm getting an F-16 and go anywhere. Scott and his buddy took off one morning in Bosnia. They were just flying a kind of a look-over mission. And Scott was going along there, and all of a sudden he felt a big jolt. And his F-16 was shot in half, a surface air missile. He parachuted out, and I want you to listen to me. As soon as he hit the ground, he did what he was told to do in basic training. Now, in basic training, they said, fellas, we're going to teach you how to survive if you get shot down. You know, and don't you know one of Scott's buddies said, we ain't going to ever need this. Like some of you are saying. Like some of you young people are saying, we're going to never need this. I listen to them old guys up there. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't you know one of his buddies said, hey, I've heard this before. My former son-in-law, they taught him how to put himself in a small box. He said, they intimidated me, preacher, till I cried. But they was trying to save my life. Scott O'Grady, as soon as he hit the ground, opened up the back of his parachute, took out a black, completely black suit, put it on, and covered his face all in black. Put on black gloves and just laid there. Found a bush and just laid there. He could hear them coming to get him. He didn't move. They walked right past him. Next day, he started eating worms, bugs. They came again, walked right past him. And you know what he did? He obeyed orders. And it saved his life. And then he had one of them signal devices. And when nobody was around, he kept signaling. And so finally, they got in touch with him. And he had some sort of walkie-talkie. And they said, now, we're going to come get you. And we're going to come get you in an Apache helicopter. And you meet us certain coordinates, and we'll pick you up. Now, listen to me. Listen, he submitted willingly. If he hadn't submitted to his authority, they'd have killed him. They had a thing on TV, and it was this documentary, product corrects anything, and a little bit about his story. And it showed him under that bush, all this there, and black, hands black, face black, shoes black, everything black. And here comes this Apache to get him. And in the rear of that Apache sat an old seasoned soldier with an M60 going. And when old Scott ran out of that bush in that opening, crawled in that helicopter, I cried like a baby. That old big seasoned soldier sitting in the back of that patch of laying down ground fire. And he took him out. You know what he did? He listened. Now, he was willing to sacrifice his life, wasn't he? He was willing to separate. So, and then he submitted warmly. Am I a soldier in the army of my God? The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word of God is my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I'm faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I'm not a baby. Listen to me. I do not need to be pampered, petted, picked up, primed up, picked up, pepped up. Huh? Hey, listen. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be a cuddle, cradle, cared for, or catered to. I'm committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt. Hey, preacher, how you doing? Bad enough to turn me around. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will come out even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I'm more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot detest me. People cannot delusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell can't handle me. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from the battlefield, he will promote me to a captain. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier, marching, heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? We're in a war. We need you guys as soldiers. Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.